Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Happy for you to stay on the line if you'd like to listen to Mr. Maluleke's commentary. But again, looking forward to touching base with you in future. We now shift the conversation to hear from the Statistician General, Rusenga Maluleke. And as has been mentioned, it's not about the figure. Is it 10%, 32%? But it's really just getting a better understanding and context around the structure of South Africa's economy. Where are we spending? What is that money being used for? Who is accessing money? Where is that coming from? And how is this data collated? And finding a heightened level of camaraderie between banking and financial and payment institutions, the government as well, but most importantly, using all of this information to formulate policy. We join now by Rusenga Maluleke, Statistician General of South Africa. Always a pleasure to have you with us, Dr. Maluleke, and thank you again for your time. I guess you've had the opportunity to hear my conversation with Gerry Fourie of Capitec Bank, and I'm quite keen to hear your response, just in terms of perhaps firstly underscoring for us how StatsSA collates its figures. And then from there, we'll talk about the heightened levels of partnership we can explore.
Gugu, let me greet you and indeed greet Gerry on the line. Yes. I need to apologize that I just found a little corner to sit between my hectic program. I could not find a good space to sit and put my camera on.
Oh, no problem. We can hear you loud and clear. We're appreciative of your time, sir. So thank you.
Yeah, but let me start off by saying that Gerry and I will be meeting in the nearest future, because we have just been going through the media, and we appreciate the space that you give both private business as well as ourselves to reach out to members of the public. So let us start with employment in South Africa. There are, according to the first quarter of 2025, there are 16.8 million people employed.
Yes.
And out of those people that are employed, you are having people that are employed in the formal sector, in the informal sector, in private households, and in agriculture. Mm-hmm. Agriculture, because of its volatility, it's very volatile. We put it separate. So now let us go back to these definitions. Especially, I want to talk about the informal sector.
Yes.
There is a difference between being in the informal sector as employed and being in the formal sector as employed. So I will give a good example. So we should talk firstly about the employer, and then we'll come to those people who get employed.
Okay.
You could have a big company like McCarthy that is a formal business.
Yes.
And it's got a contract to cut grass or to provide security services in a government department or in an estate.
So regulated, registered, fully understood to be a key player in a market, right? Got you.
Yes. But also, you could find that because they're a formal business, they hire both formal and informal employees. So let's say they go to my house and Harry's house and your house, and we hired them to cut grass in our estate. Mm-hmm. We will say we have brought the employer is formal. But if they, for whatever reason, the workload is big and they find a person standing in the street corner and say, do you want to assist for a day or two? That person then is their services are being picked up from informal employment. So the company is formal, but the employee enters the informal facility.
So this would be a sole proprietor or someone who's actually brought on board perhaps by, what do they call it, labor brokers, I'm assuming. So it's a wide scope, essentially, of employment that's being created there.
So now, but coming back to not everyone in the informal economy can be hired in the formal sector and the informal sector. So I'm talking about persons here. They can be hired by any employer.
Yes.
Now, let us come to who is working. Any person who works a minimum of an hour a week, in our case, as let's say, using the ILO guidelines, is employed. So if you have a taxi driver who works in the morning and they are driving in the street and they pick up money in cash, as long as they are being paid for their services, they are employed. If a person is selling corn in the street, on the street side, or they are selling chips, or the men and women who are standing by school gates selling to school children,
mm-hmm.
they are employed. But if they hire less than five people and they are not VAT registered, they are in the informal economy because you can't pick their enterprise from SARS. SARS gives us everyone who is VAT paying every month.
100%. Maduleke, I'm keen to jump in here because I do want us to get to the opportunities of collaboration that we can explore. And as you've highlighted, it's various ways of looking at the employer, who they happen to employ, and whether or not they are registered formally within the financial ecosystem of South Africa. Given the fact that we are finding that a lot more South Africans are economically active despite being viewed as being employed in the formal or informal sector, is this a consideration, I guess, or a view and an aspect that the that SSA is considering in terms of the collation of data and maybe adding a broader stream for us to understand the nuances of the informal or emerging sector?
Certainly, we are ready to harvest all sorts of data, and we don't have to get people's records. We are interested in whether it's from Capitec or FNB, we are interested in data that we can use to enrich our work.
Mm-hmm.
But you must understand that in relation to labor markets, we measure it from two forms. The quarterly employment survey, which takes information from the factory gates. The firms will tell you who they have hired, who they are paying, and who got bonuses. But that doesn't give you people who are unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why we go to the households in the quarterly labor force survey. And we have what we call economically active. You are economically active if you are employed or actively looking for employment.
Yes.
So we have 25 million people who are economically active out of the 43.7 million who are in the working age. I'm not talking about discouraged work seekers and people who didn't look for work. I'm talking about people who are employed, the 16.8 million and the 8.2 million who are actively looking for employment, but they are not employed.
Gotcha.
So now, out of the 16.8 million, about 11 million are in the formal sector.
Mm-hmm.
3.3 million are in the informal sector. These are taxi drivers, people who are selling in at street corners, people who are waiting every morning with the paint brushes as well as the lawn mower in the street hoping to be hired.
Yes.
Then we over and above the 3.3 million, we have another 1.1 million who are in private households.
Mm-hmm.
They may be holding a contract or no contract. So if they are holding a contract and their appointment is formalized, they are in the formal economy. But if they just come to cut grass and leave and they work for a minimum of an hour and they are being paid, they are in the informal side.
Gotcha.
Then you also have 930,000 people in agriculture. So you are having about 5 million people, which is a third of the employed people in what we call elementary work or domestic workership.
Gotcha. Got you. Before I let you go, Mr. Maluleka, I am quite keen just to go back to the international example. The reason why institutions like yourself exist is because these stats are essentially used for policy making, investment decisions, and on a like-for-like basis. Often South Africa is being compared to many emerging markets, and specifically Mexico comes to mind, even markets like Brazil. I'm keen to understand, with the shift or perhaps potential change in how it is that we view unemployment in the country, how would that allow our stats to compare on an international basis? In other words, to ensure that we can still compare like for like with our international emerging market peers.
You can't compare two nations. They, at a ballpark figure, when you look at the size of the economy or where they pitch, you can see them. But when you go particularly to the informal sector, you can't compare them because their economic, cultural, and social circumstances differ. So go to Brazil, and I've met with my colleagues in Mexico and Brazil. Mm-hmm. I've been to Aguascalientes, where their head of statistics office is based, and I've moved all over Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, or all the other parts of Brazil. When you go there, you find people in the informal sector, and I think Harry said it, they have what you call stalls, and the majority of them are registered. Now, in our case, as we are talking now, tomorrow morning, there will be so many people who will be going out tomorrow morning to start their business. They don't even go to the municipality. They just stand in a street corner, sell vegetables and the like.
Yeah.
But as long as they make money, when we go and count them, they are employed. So when we say there are 8.2 million people who are unemployed and represent 32.9%, we are also talking about people who have gone to look for work or who have tried to go and sell in the street corner, but they didn't sell and now they are looking for another opportunity. And in that case, comparing like for like and until you have a case of a policy position, for example, in our country, we don't have informal sector registered as we are talking. Harry can see the money going into their accounts. He doesn't know whether it comes from the informal sector or it comes from private households or it comes from people who are paid in cash in agriculture, but it keeps on going in. That is number one. Number two, let us look at our unemployment figures. The unemployment for South Africans on average is sitting at 34%. For non-South Africans, it's sitting at 18%. So the barriers of entry mm-hmm. for your people who are foreign born are much more higher because they enjoy a lower unemployment. And their participation rate is 64%, whereas that of South Africans is sitting at about 32 point something percent. So now when you look at that, if you have a cohort of non-South Africans who can, maybe foreign-born people, who can work in agriculture and in private households, and for whatever good reason, they can have anybody banking their money or they can bank on their own, depending on the limitations they may have.
Sure.
And they are informal and they are being paid in cash. Banks will see money coming in, but they will not know whether it comes from people who are working. And these people are the ones, when we go to the private households, their dwelling units, they tell us we are working or we are actively looking for employment.
Gotcha.
When I talk of the 8.2 million people, I haven't spoken about the 3.5 million people who are discouraged work seekers,
mm-hmm.
Who told us they are discouraged when we interviewed them.
Gotcha.
I haven't even spoken about a million who said, I'm not looking for employment, but if employment came, I would take it. There is also money. Remember, in our income and expenditure survey, 68.8% of household money comes from work. The rest comes from remittances and mm-hmm. grants and other issues. And if people are taking that money, particularly in remittances, and are banking it, when it hits the bank will never know where it comes from. But we do measure informality in South Africa, and we do pick up on income and expenditure survey.
Got you. Mr. Maluleke, we'll have to leave it there for today, but this has really been a fruitful conversation just to understand how layered the economy in South Africa is, and more so even the measurement of the current unemployment figures that we do see. We are looking forward to, seeing the growth and the development and translation of the solutions that will be brought on board, especially given your engagements with players in the banking fraternity like Mr. Kheri Fourie. Thank you both for making the time this evening. It's the last time we as the media will bother you. We'll leave it to you to have successful progression in your conversations in the privacy of your boardrooms going forward. But thank you again for your time, Mr. Maluleke.
Let me thank you and thank the Kaya FM listeners. And do confirm, Gugu,
yes,
that you never bother us. You help us to reach out to members of the public through media houses like yourselves. And we will answer any question, big or small, difficult or simple. It's our job to do that. I thank you.
Oh, I thank you, sir. Truly appreciate it. Resenga Maluleke Nikensile, the Statistician General of South Africa from Statistics SA. And I think a really fruitful conversation that we've had there, right? It's not about who's right and who's wrong, whose metrics are correct, what the figure should be. It's really just about understanding the different view or angles within which we're able to assess South Africa's economy. Stats SA has clear measures and guidelines, and of course a method that's in place to actually measure not only economic activity through its quarterly labor force survey, but also the unemployment figures. And as you've heard Mr. Maluleke describing, there are varied nuances that come to play when it comes to understanding how South Africans are employed or economically active and included. And what Kheri highlighted for me, which I think is something that is huge we need to be mindful of. Despite the fact that you and I might live in these metropolitan cities, we can take a look and make payments using our phones and apps. We transfer money in and out of our accounts using amazing technology platforms, and even always observing our credit scores and financial data. Much of the South African economy relies on cash. Kheri mentioned that of their 3 million business customers, a good 70% of them are actually transacting using cash. And that tells us something. Not only is cash a key driver and influence within South Africa, yes, it raises a lot of concerns around safety, but also tracking and tracing where that money's from. And that's a key priority to make sure that we can understand how the money is actually moving within our economy. That gives us better context and understanding as to where the influences are coming from. So amazing insights. And I think this is definitely one that we are going to build up on, especially when it comes to the payments environment in South Africa. You will be amazed at the level of progress that the South African Reserve Bank, together with banking partners and non-banking institutions, are looking to ensure that they bring about to the payments environment in South Africa. There's ongoing changes and some significant developments that have taken place since 2018.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.